T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome to Uber Night America. Little extra intro. Producer Mike thought I wouldn't do it because we have a guest in studio this hour. Amy Markscores. Hey, Amy. Thank you for sticking around.
Hey, Ryan.
After Chili's week in hockey there. You guys sound great per usual. It's an exciting time for the Blues, even though after the past two games, there's a lot of frustrated fans. I'm so glad you stuck around because I have so many questions for you, and I know you're exhausted because you just ran a marathon, and I wanted to talk to you about that, too.
Yeah.
Before we get to the marathon thing, there's one thing I wanted to ask you about. If you go to KMOX.com and you look up the article from February, a first for St. Louis sports broadcasting happening with Saturday's Blues game. So this is back a report from Friday, February 1st. Why do they pick screenshots like this? Did you notice that when they put this article out?
You know, is it just where they cut the video? Because it does seem to be they pick the most unflattering facial expression to plaster across the front page.
Yeah, to me, this looks like one of two things. One, mid-sneeze.
Yep.
Or you just stepped on a Lego.
Yeah, it's kind of got that like, oh, ow.
But you were the first female to broadcast a professional major sports pregame and postgame in St. Louis.
So between, On radio.
On radio,
yes, on between, the radio side.
Between the St. Louis Cardinals baseball and also football, if you want to use Cardinals that way, but between the Blues and whatnot, you're the very first one to do that. Do you get a trophy or anything cool like that? Certificate?
No, I don't. And, you know, it's funny because I didn't even really think of it that way. I didn't notice it until a couple of people brought it up. And I do think that's a testament to KMOX and the Blues. You know, once we realized that I just happened to be the first woman to host pre and post on a radio broadcast, then it gained some traction and people used the phrase barrier breaking, but it never felt like that because, as I said, a testament to the Blues and KMOX, it was just work hard and know your stuff. And it happened.
You know your stuff.
Yeah.
Are you pretty good with Blues trivia?
Oh, gosh. See, this is my worst nightmare because, yes, I feel like I'm good with Blues trivia, just like I feel like I'm good with history and literature. Okay. And there is going to be an obvious question with an obvious answer that you're going to lob my way, and I'm going to get it wrong.
All right, let me just load something up here real quick, and then we'll just do a quick little.
I hate this.
I know, of course you do. How many games did Wayne Gretzky play in St. Louis?
46.
18. How many points did he have in those 18?
I don't know, Ryan. I was 12 and I had a Gretzky shirt, but I don't
okay.
know.
You okay.
know what? This
don't
is
you
it.
Hate that, the pressure that is put onto you?
This is, you know, sometimes I'm clutch and other times you could ask me my own age and I would mess up because I'm put on the spot. And then it's too late to go back and correct it. If you give like your wrong age, you're like, oh, I'm 32. And then you realize that's wrong. Well, now it's too late. 30 yeah. seconds have passed since I've said it.
Totally get that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for this, Ryan. This has been uplifting and encouraging.
No. But no, there's a point to all of this. There's something I don't know if people have given you credit for this or not.
Okay.
Because if they haven't given you credit for this, they should. The game that your very first game doing the pre and post coverage for the Blues when it comes to being the main announcer, February 2nd.
Yes.
After the All-Star break. What happened to the Blues after the All-Star break?
Well,
they performed.
They became the best team in the National Hockey League.
Do you think it's a coincidence?
No, I don't. I think this was the universe smiling down on the St. Louis Blues. I don't mean to have a digression here, but when you told me that Gretzky played 18 games, is that regular season or counting the playoffs?
Regular season.
Okay, so they had Did they win in the first round in seven games? Because they lost in the second round.
All right, let me
look. He played at least 11 more games after that.
Okay, so I guess you're stretching it out a little bit. I get it.
Because they lost in seven games in the second round.
And he was 35 years old when he played here in St. Louis, which is how old
which is my
we
age.
Are, actually. I'm 35, too.
There we go. Same age. It's a magic age.
Isn't that weird to think that at some point in time, these players were in their 30s? It seems like all of these players we idolized growing up, it's weird because we were younger than them watching them, and they look so old. But now they look really old.
Yeah.
That's kind of a mean thing to say, I guess.
Well, there you go. But at least it wasn't just 18. They were at least in the 30s, mm-hmm. once you count the playoffs.
So the Blues go crazy after you do the very first pre and post game in St. Louis history. And I think they reacted to you. They were doing this in support of you being able to
be a team player. You got to be a team player, Wrecker.
I wanted to talk to you, too, about your Boston Marathon. You ran just this past weekend?
On Monday. It's a Monday race. It's Patriots Day, so it's a holiday in Boston. The city shuts down, and everybody comes out to cheer.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Is this your very first one, Boston Marathon?
This is my first Boston.
Okay, so talk about what it took to prepare for something like that, not just physically, but mentally. And then talk about what the experience was like, because Boston, it doesn't get bigger than the Boston Marathon. That's huge.
Right, it is. It is a huge marathon. It's a mecca for runners, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You do have to qualify for Boston, so it's not a lottery like the New York Marathon, mm-hmm. or just a first-come, first-serve when you sign up like other marathons. So it's a serious and relatively, you know, elite group of runners who can make it to the Boston Marathon. So for me, the training for the time I wanted to qualify with, training for that was where I put, you know, 120% of my energy. And I directed it all towards that qualifying time, because everybody told me, when you get to Boston, enjoy the race. Have fun with it. Don't necessarily think that you want to run your best time in Boston. Don't try to run your fastest race in Boston. Run your most fun race in Boston and soak it up. And that was my goal. So I qualified. You have to sign up so early, which means your qualification time has to be so early. So I actually qualified in November of 2017, mm-hmm. which was too late for the 2018 race, because you have to sign up in September of 2017. So I had to wait until September of 2018 to sign up for the Boston Marathon of 2019.
Wow. So a lot could happen between the time you qualify and go out there.
Yeah. And I'd run, another marathon before then, but I had my time goal in mind that I wanted to run in 2017 and hit that mark and said, okay, I'm going to use that for my Boston time. Some people, really fight to get just under that qualifying mark. Some people fall way below that qualifying mark and beat their time by a lot. So it just depends on your personal goal. But there is that standard that you have to meet to get in.
When you were out there, did you have to keep reminding yourself to have fun, or did it just come naturally?
No, I had fun the whole time. I had to remind myself not to run too fast so that I stopped having fun.
Oh.
I didn't want to hit a suffer fest. I wanted to honor the sport, right, you know, and honor the race by giving it a really hard effort.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to hit the point where I felt like walking, or I couldn't smile, or I couldn't run to the side and slap everybody's hands. You know, everyone's got their hands out, or the little kids have posters that have power-up posters. That takes a ton of energy, and I would never normally do that if I was really racing a marathon. I would never swerve and yell and throw my hands in the air and smile and laugh, because all of that takes energy. So in Boston, you know, everyone, it's an interesting course, because the first 13 miles are a net descent. Mm-hmm. You have more downhill than uphill. The whole course actually is a net descent, but most of those downhills come in the first 13 miles, and some of them are very, very steep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a jerky motion, right? That your legs are just kind of being pounded by these hills, which I would say it kind of feels like someone takes a baseball bat to your quads.
Ew.
And then you have to run uphill for 13 miles, or really just through the Newton Hills, which ends with heartbreak at mile 21. And that the sweetest words I heard during the race, right as I was about to crest heartbreak at mile 21, a guy yells, "Up to the lights, downhill to Boston." And this, you know, huge grin broke across my face, and I didn't stop smiling after that. I was like laughing and smiling. It was so fun because the crowd's cheering. You have people lining both sides of the road for 26.2 miles.
Wow, that is amazing.
It's amazing.
Isn't it?
Like 3-4 deep, and then when you get close to the city, it's 6 to 8 people deep.
Quite an accomplishment. And then after that, are you able to, like, does your body, does it take a while for your body to react to running a marathon, or is it instantly like, I got to get off my feet and I need to get rest immediately?
Right. Everybody is different. And I think I would even say every race is different. I love high mileage. I like a lot of volume in my training. And so if you've got a lot of mileage, I think you can recover from the race, even if you run it hard. Mm-hmm. And so I finished the race, you know, just after 1 o'clock, because the race starts at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
I finished just after 1, and I think I was on my feet until 12:30 a.m., like after midnight, because I went, you know, you're hanging around the post-race area, then you have to walk. You know, we walked maybe a half mile, a mile back to where we were staying,
mm-hmm.
you know, back to our Airbnb where we were staying. And then we went to lunch, walked to lunch. And after that, we went to a post-race party at Fenway, which also required walking.
Wow.
We walked around the field. And after that, I went to a post-race party where I stood for a couple of hours. So maybe
so
not
popular.
Ideal. No, I think everybody's partying. Everybody's friends there.
I don't know how you do it, because I'll go to the zoo here and I'll just walk around the zoo for an hour with my kid. And if I sit down, it's like, whoop, not getting back up for a little bit.
How do you run
a marathon and you're walking and doing all kinds of other things through the rest of the day?
I think it's adrenaline.
You think so?
Yeah, you feel it. And I feel it more in my quads today than I even did.
Yeah.
Yesterday. Because
you're still trying to
hydrate.
It takes a while to get back to normal, doesn't it?
And it was hot.
Uh-huh.
The race was really warm. You know, it was flirting with 70 degrees, which is hot if you haven't been training.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And also, just across the board, anything over 60 degrees is really warm for a marathon.
Oh,
your
really?
Core temperature gets so hot. So by mile 8, I had a cup in each hand when I ran through the water station. I'd take one cup and I'd drink the water. I'd take the second cup. I'd throw it on the back of my neck or over my head. And I did that from mile 8 in because it was very warm.
Wow. I was going to ask about that, what they give you during the marathon. So it's water and
Gatorade.
And
they have long folding tables just stacked with water and dozens of volunteers. And, you know, they yell, Gatorade in the front, water in the back. Gatorade in the front, water in the back. So you know what tables to run by. And then
yeah.
you just reach out while you're running and grab a cup.
I had a roommate run a marathon. Very first time they gave some advice, which was your feet are going to swell. You have to wear shoes larger than you're used to. Is that true?
Generally, yes. And for me, I think it's the hockey player in me. You know, he wear hockey skates mm-hmm. really tight. I probably wear my shoes a little bit smaller than I should, but I never have any problems.
Huh.
So it works. You know, you don't want your shoes too big, because if your feet are sliding around, you're going to get blisters, or you're going to lose a toenail because your toes, it's not that the shoe was so small that you lost a toenail, it's that you were, you know, jamming into the front of the shoe.
That does not appeal to me.
Yeah.
And people do this for fun?
Right. Yeah. You don't have to suffer all of the horror stories that you hear every marathon. You may get 1, you may get 2, you may get 0. Just depends on your training and your equipment, the day, right? Because if you're running a marathon and it's raining for half the marathon, you're probably going to deal with a little bit more chafing mm-hmm. and more blisters than you normally would.
Okay, just 2 last questions. 1,
yeah.
did you get a medal?
Of course. Of
awesome.
Course, yes.
2, are you putting a decal on your car?
No.
You don't go that far?
I don't do the decals. But, I mean, a lot of people put decals for their, you know, their marathons, the 26.2. And they actually give you a Boston-specific decal,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But
so you're
no.
not a bragger?
No, you know
you
why?
You should be. You're so good at this.
No, the sport keeps you humble. I run with so many people who are so much faster than me, or faster than I am, and who have run so many more marathons and ultra marathons than I have, that it just feels wrong. You know, running the sport keeps you humble, because there are always people who are faster. There are always people who are slower. And even the miles themselves, you can be an experienced marathon runner, and it's just not your day, or the course, or the elements throw it at you, and you're done. You're done. Your race is over, because you just can't keep going. So you always have to respect the distance as well.
It's not your day, your week, your month, or even your year, but running will be there for you. That was in a song, I believe.
Really?
It's like the Friends theme song. Well, Amy Mark scores.
Oh,
I'm so glad you stuck around. And thank you for talking about the Boston Marathon. What did you run, by the way?
I ran 3:09.
That sounds unbelievable to me. I cannot believe anyone could do that. I think that is just beyond excitable. Like, maybe that's not the right word, but I think it's amazing. I think 3:09 is unbelievable. So congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you. It was fun.
And I look forward to hearing some great, hopefully, deep Blues coverage this playoff, and let's hope that they can get past the Jets and take on the next. And I would love to see a deep playoff run, which would be amazing. And again, thank you for everything you do here at KMOX with the Blues coverage. You do an excellent job, and hopefully you're going to take a break here and not run for a little bit. You're thinking to yourself, well, actually, this weekend I'll be out again. I hope that's not what you're thinking.
Well, I already signed up for my next race, but it's not for a while. I am going to rest.
Very good. Amy Marscores, thank you so much for sticking around here on Overnight America.
Thank you.
News at the top and bottom of the hour. Mornings and afternoons. KMOX.
Very big thank you to Amy Mark Scores. Wow. I am just beyond myself. Producer Mike asked me the question, how long would it take for you to run a marathon? How many weeks would it take you if I had to spread it out over weeks? And I was telling him, you know, if I could walk, it's just, to me, I'm just bored by it. Like, I can't mentally prepare myself to want to do something like that. Physically, I am not in the shape to run a marathon. But if I had to do maybe 3 miles a day, like a light jog, I can do that. It wouldn't be easy. I wouldn't be happy. I used to run. That's the thing. You know, I played soccer when I was in high school. I used to jog. I used to do like 8 mile or minute miles when I was actually trying to exercise. And I'd be able to do maybe 2 to 3 miles that way. Mostly, I would just do 2 and I would stop because I'd be bored. But I'd do 8 minute miles, and then I would be completely spent for the day. Like, that's the most I can do. There's no way I can do 20 some at one time. Just not possible for me to do that. Mind over matter. It would have to be something incredibly something that, like, they would have to put a pretty big carrot and dangle it in front of me for me to get that sort of thing. So at 11 o'clock we have something very special. We're going to welcome John Lindsay back in with the Paranormal American Scientific Tours, PAST, PAST. And he's going to come in and present his evidence that he was able to record when he was doing an investigation here at KMOX. We walked the floors at KMOX for 2 hours. We went to every nook and cranny. We set up the cameras. We had the audio recorders. We had the handheld devices. We went up to the roof. We did all of these things. And while we were trying to catch something like this on camera or audio anywhere, to me as an outsider just observing this thing, I didn't see anything. I didn't witness anything. And normally they do this over a course of several hours. We had this basically compressed to a 2-hour time frame. But it was awesome to see. So what normally happens after an investigation is they go back and they listen to the tapes and they look at the video and they see if there's anything that's out of the ordinary that they can't explain. Maybe something they didn't catch at the time. That's what we're going to do here. So we're going to come to a conclusion. Is KMOX haunted? And we're going to do that at 11 o'clock with John Lindsay, who's coming in studio. Now, full disclosure, I don't want to see the pictures. I don't want to hear the audio. That was my philosophy leading into this. So I have no idea what John's going to present. When you hear it here on the air, it'll be the first time I hear it too. We're going to hear all of the audio tapes of what is a little bit weird coming up a little past 11 o'clock. And he's going to sit in with us in studio, which I think is going to be just terrifying because I don't want the idea of ghosts hanging out in our studios in the back of my mind all the time. You know, I'm here till 2 a.m. with Overnight America. Well, the last thing I want to do is go use the bathroom and think, am I going to cross the corner and Slimer's going to be there looking for me? I don't want that. Coming up next, China Bowen is going to join us. She's with the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, NFTE. NFTE is the organization here in St. Louis. They do some awesome work for teens in high school and even middle school when it comes to teaching them the fundamentals of entrepreneurship And what a great thing that they're doing. About 600 kids participate in it here in St. Louis. We'll let you hear about their program coming up next in Overnight America, KMOX.
Ryan Recker. Overnight America. The two best things in your night on KMOX.
And joining us now is the regional senior manager for St. Louis. It's part of the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship. China Bowen, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thanks so much for having me, Ryan.
This is a neat organization. So it's dedicated to teaching teenagers in low-income areas the basics of entrepreneurship. And what a great thing to go around and teach people in general. But what about an underserved area that could do a lot of good? So kind of talk about your organization, your mission, and the things that you're doing.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So we are the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship. And our mission is to activate the entrepreneurial mindset for young people in underserved communities. I always like to say in my role here is that I am a facilitator of opportunities for our students. We don't give them these things. This isn't a handout. This is a hand up. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurship is so powerful for so many people and for America, really, to be able to do cool things, to create new businesses and create jobs for folks.
And this is great.
So to be able to bring that to our students is amazing.
Well, how many teenagers are involved here in St. Louis?
We roughly serve around 600 students.
Wow.
This year.
A lot. That is a lot more than I thought you were about to say. That is great.
Yes, yes. We are in 10 schools in the St. Louis metro area, and we serve around 600 students each year.
So how does this work? Are these like after-school classes, or is this something that happens during regular school hours?
No, believe it or not, this is a regular class just like any other class that you take during the school day. We do have some after-school programs, but we are centered in the actual communities, in the schools and school districts. So the students, they could have taken an intro to business class, they could have taken a marketing class, and this is their entrepreneurship class that they take.
Wow. And there's other types of classes. I saw you guys do financial literacy and other types of services, too.
Yes, we are super proud of that. We just launched what we call our Emerging Entrepreneurs Capstone Program. So the students who have taken our class, which is year-long, and they've taken another advanced class, which we call Entrepreneurship 2, they have the opportunity, once they've pitched and developed an original business plan, and, you know, it's up to snuff, they have the opportunity to apply for a microloan through the St. Louis Community Credit Union to actually launch their business. We've partnered with St. Louis Community Credit Union and Prosperity Connection to provide them 7 weeks of financial literacy before they apply for a real business loan.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's pretty incredible.
That is incredible. Well, you're getting hands-on. How many people have so far taken that class?
So this is a brand-new pilot program. We have 3 student businesses and 7 students total in the program.
Oh,
so it's
wow.
Very, very small because we want to have some real impact with these students, and we hope to see that grow year after year.
I think that's great. You're in the schools. You're doing programs also outside the schools if people wanted to get further educated in certain ways. Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship is the name of the organization. Is that a nonprofit?
Yes, we're a global nonprofit. We are in 10 regions across the U.S. St. Louis is the youngest regional office, and we're in 8 international cities.
Well, St. Louis being the youngest, how has participation been in St. Louis compared to other cities you guys are in?
So our footprint is relatively small. I think our largest is obviously New York, Florida, Chicago, and the Bay. But I think our participation here is so powerful because we are a smaller regional office, and St. Louis is such in need of entrepreneurship and new ideas and business ventures. So I think we have some major impacts with the schools that we work with. We work with Normandy. We are proud partners with Jennings and St. Louis Public Schools. So we have some major impact with our students and with our teachers.
You know, what schools are you in? You mentioned you're in about a dozen. I can't remember the number.
10. We're in
10
schools.
Yeah.
So we are in University City's Brittany Woods Middle School. We're in Normandy High Middle, and we're in Jennings as well. We're in Ferguson, Florissant, McClure North, McClure High School in La Crosse, South Berkeley, and Every Child's Hope. I know the famous, I am not originally from St. Louis, I am from Chicago, but I quickly learned after attending WashU, the famous St. Louis question is, where'd you go to high school? I did not know what that meant. And then when you really get into the communities, especially North County and North City, you understand how much your zip code impacts the trajectory of your life. And at Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, we're here to just be one of those touch points for students to divert our students to a different path.
Yeah. Yeah, with the whole zip code thing, if you let it, you see all of these great organizations like yours going in and doing everything you can to give, like you said, the underserved areas an opportunity to have something they may normally would never have access to. It's when people ask about the high schools and zip codes, it's funny to me. And as an outsider, too, I just moved here 2 years ago. I don't know how long you've lived in St. Louis, but it's funny to me, too. I think, listen, you can make the best out of any opportunity you're in if you have that sort of spirit behind you.
Absolutely. The spirit and the resources, because it's one thing to wish it. It's another thing to have the access and the opportunity to manifest it.
I love organizations that help teach teens and kids going through school, entrepreneurship, things that are lifelong lessons to them, very practical things to learn in high school. I wish those things were around when I was going to high school, or at least those programs, but they are here in St. Louis. And luckily, 600 students or so have been able to participate in this. We want to see many more. If you want to learn more about the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, we'll learn more with China Bowen coming up next on Overnight America KMOX.
Making the darkness of night a little brighter. It's Ryan Recker and Overnight America on KMOX.
That's from the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship. And I was looking at your rundown of your financial literacy schedule. And here's some of the classes, just to give people ideas. Banking personal versus business finance. You have, and you have special people come in like Robert Nelson. And are these particularly people with your organization? Or are these people in the community that are working in those areas that are coming in and offering their services?
Yeah, so this is the beauty. We are bringing together schools, school districts, young people, experts, community advisors. So we have brought in Prosperity Connection and their financial coaches to facilitate these Saturday academies. One of the reasons why I got involved in youth empowerment and nonprofit work really was because of the tremendous impact that nonprofits had on my life growing up in Chicago. And so it's important. I actually took part of a Saturday academy very similar to this. It was all about college access. And I know that the students that were involved in my program, including myself, they have the grit and the determination to sacrifice a Saturday morning. That meant you really took it seriously. So these students, they've already, right, you know, to take out your own time, to wake up on a Saturday morning, you mean business. And so
you mean business is right.
You do. Yeah. You do.
Well, it's funny. Some of these other ones. So budgeting, you have personal credit and identity theft, which are the classes you've already had, and then some future ones for the people in that class: business, credit, and commercial lending, real estate and home ownership, predatory lending, which is something that should be taught everywhere, and micro business loan applications. And by the time they exit that class, they have an opportunity, you said, to get micro business loan, and they're able to maybe plant something and start something of their own.
Exactly. So I'm glad that you just shared all of what we're doing. It's really important that our students have a strong financial literacy background and foundation, because we can't empower them to be business owners if they don't know how to take care of their personal finances first.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know a lot of adults that could take advantage of those classes. So we do that on Saturdays mornings, and that's facilitated by Prosperity Connection. And at the conclusion of that, those students will be paired with a business mentor and an expert in whatever type of business that they are pursuing. And together, they're going to refine that business loan application. And that's actually through the generosity of the St. Louis Community Credit Union. They've pledged $25,000 for this first year for our students. To apply for a loan up to $5,000. Wow. It's a real business loan, And we are giving them exposure to this process. But because we are on mission, the loan is 100% forgivable. I like to say that it's a real business loan, just with training wheels, because we want to be sensitive and we ultimately want to set our students up for success. So if it's not profitable, it's 100% forgivable. But they are going to take it very seriously, just as any other real business would.
You're also mentioning you have a big event coming up here in May. We're mid-April right now. Well, April's going to be gone before we know it. May 7th is just a few weeks away. What's going on?
May 7th, we are having our annual Regional Youth Entrepreneurship Challenge. So those students that take our entrepreneurship class all year long, it's a special class. It's not just any other class where they're learning the basics of entrepreneurship and business and marketing. They actually get to identify a problem and create a business solution for it. And they take that from ideation to pitch, and they do it at our Regional Youth Entrepreneurship Challenge. It's the best way I can describe it is a Shark Tank for St. Louis youth.
Oh, cool.
And it's amazing. It's a really, really exciting event. This is our 7th annual. And this year we'll have a keynote speaker from actually the St. Louis Surge, our very own Kalia Collier. She's going to be giving our keynote address. And then we have our St. Louis Sharks, Gary Vonderhaar from MasterCard, Jeff Mazar from LaunchCode, Ruth Safian from EY, and Harris Overvive from Citi.
Wow.
And Tamara Keith from Clementine's Ice Cream, the founder and CEO. They're going to be judging our kids, and these will be the best of the best. We get from classroom competition from those 600 kids that I mentioned down to the top three. And those top three students will win first prize of $3,000.
Wow.
The first and second place students actually get to go on to New York October 16th to our National Youth Entrepreneurship Challenge to compete for $25,000.
You know, I feel almost jealous that I didn't know organizations like this existed when I was in high school, because they didn't. I wish I would have known. This is awesome.
Yes, it is. It is amazing. And it's incredible to me that more students have not taken advantage of it. So we are just doing our best to be able to offer programs like this and opportunities and exposure to students across the St. Louis region. It's so important that these students have an opportunity to showcase what they're doing and have the resources to make it come to fruition. And if we're not in a school that that your student or your child is in, then you can always come and apply to our Biz Camp, which is hosted this summer. And it's actually going to be from July 29th to July 9th at T-Rex.
Cool.
So
awesome.
Check us out on the website. Go to nifty.com, NFT.
I think it's just wonderful. I think it's great that there are organizations, and I've heard of a couple, and we've interviewed a few on this program that do different things. And a lot of times it revolves around training. This is the weird thing about St. Louis. We are actually growing, and people try to knock us and they act like we're stagnant. No, as fast as we can train them, they're finding jobs in St. Louis, depending on what the job is. When it comes to tech jobs, when it comes to programming, when it comes to apprenticeships and things like this, entrepreneurs, as fast as we can train them and get them on their feet, they're able to have a huge opportunity in front of them in this market. So it's what a great thing to teach kids.
Exactly. Yeah, it's phenomenal. And we're right in the middle of it. I mean, with the explosion of the biotech space here in St. Louis with so many, you know, organizations like T-Rex, who are huge sponsors of ours, as well as, you know, the Cortex District and its growth with the EdHub space and with LaunchCode. I mean, there are so many organizations that are doing such phenomenal work, and we just view ourselves at the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship as a cog in that wheel to be able to grow St. Louis talent, retain St. Louis talent, and to really contribute to the economy and the ecosystem here for good.
You are so right. When I talk to LaunchCode, for example, they talk about how they'll fill as many as they possibly can fill. And it's like jobs, they're just waiting. They're just waiting for people to go through this training. And we have them there. And the employers are paying for this stuff because they're thirsty. They need local talent. You know, what a great thing when you're a high school student to know you can learn some of these skills ahead of time. And these are life skills. These are not something you'll forget about by the time you're out of school. So if people wanted to learn more about the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, where can they go?
They can go to nfte.com, nfte.com. They can find us on Instagram or on Twitter or Facebook at NFTE St. Louis.
NFTE, Nifty. That's a great way to pronounce it. I love that. Nifty. And joining us here, the Regional Senior Manager for St. Louis, China Bowen. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Ryan. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. All right. So very important night here. This is the night where we get to go through and comb through some of the evidence that our friend John Lindsay found a couple of weeks back. If you remember, we had the paranormal investigation here through the KMOX studios. He's part of PASS, Paranormal American Scientific Tours, here in St. Louis. And I'll tell you what, I am very eager to listen back to the audio and hear the things with you for the very first time. So here's the big question. Is KMOX haunted? I don't know. We're going to find out. And we'll get some expert opinions on that, too, right after the news here, CBS Next. And they're in studio. I'm telling you, I have not heard this audio yet. So this is going to be an adventure for all of us on Overnight America KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.